Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would please. And we're going to begin in verse 13. I will read verses 13 through 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. You follow along as we read. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?'" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." You can probably guess by what we just read that the characteristic that we're going to discuss is that of being obedient. Obedient. I love this passage of scripture, if you will, because it really exemplifies us as human beings. Or maybe I should say I hate it, because it exposes us as human beings. Did you notice that Saul was delusional the whole time he was talking to Samuel? And even at the end, when he said, "I have sinned," he still was giving excuses, because he feared the people and he obeyed their voice. Man. And wasn't Samuel so right in saying, "When thou wast little in thine own eyes," right? Goodness sakes. But we probably don't have a lot to slight Saul over, knowing our own selves. You know, God's word is, if you will, pretty clear. And it's extremely clear to the believer, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, which will guide us into all truth and will bring all things into remembrance whatsoever he's commanded us, right? We really have no excuses. I remember when I was in the military, they gave us a manual, at the very beginning of boot camp, it was a book, fine print. Actually, I think I still have it up in the box over there. I haven't put it on my shelf yet. But it's about this thick, small print, textbook size, and it's called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Yay. Do you know what? I was responsible for everything in that book. And ignorance was no excuse. That's unfair. I'll make the rules. No excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. What is better than sacrifice? Obedience. Samuel said it himself. What does God want from us? To obey. He's afforded us the information. He's gone to great lengths to make sure we have His Word in the English language. You know, we don't have to wait for the prophets to come around and to tell us, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. We already have all the information we need. We're without excuse. To be submissive to authority, yielding, compliance with commands, orders or injunctions, performing what is required, or abstaining from what is forbid. You know, obedience goes both ways. Doing what we're supposed to do and not doing what we're not supposed to do. When you talk with your hands, you have this problem.
I have this problem. Yeah.
Okay. See, I get this thing going. I think if I wouldn't be able to say anything if somebody tied my hands behind my back. You feel that way? Maybe not. So, how is it that we can be, or if you will, develop this thing of being obedient? Well, we need to practice at it. Obey, 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 obey. And when we obey, it makes it easier to obey the next time. And it makes it easier to obey the next time. And the next time, and the next time, and the next time. If we obey one time, and then we disobey, now we got to go back to square one. We got to learn to obey again. See, we need to practice at being obedient. You say, well, what if what God says is impossible? God won't do that. God won't tell you to do something that's impossible. You say, well, what if what God says to do is something that we shouldn't do? Well, God's not going to do that either. Because He's God. He's not going to tell us to violate His Word. He's not going to lead us to do something that we shouldn't do. Because He's God. He's perfect. And if He violates that, then He's not God, is He? You understand? So guess what? To obey God is always the right thing to do. It's just kind of that simple. Although, it's quite that hard. You see the paradox that we're in as human beings. Now going back to Saul and to this story. He is the king. He's been given orders. And in his mind, he's talked himself into thinking that he has obeyed God. When he hasn't. Maybe they had a miscommunication. Maybe Saul's definition of utterly destroyed was different than God's. Well, if you read before this, God made it very clear that man, woman, child, and animal were to be destroyed. All of them. And as his delusion kind of begins to fade. He says to him, I have obeyed, and I have brought Agag, the king, here. What? Last I checked, Agag was a man. And he was to be utterly destroyed. So you did not, Saul. You did not obey God. And in doing that, you know, he's trying to push it onto the people that they brought the animals. Well, Saul, it wasn't about the animals. You brought the king. You weren't supposed to bring him. Alive, anyways. Well, there's a difficulty there. This is called disobedience. Not doing what God says to do. Or doing something that God says not to do. So we've got to work on this thing of being obedient. First of all, look at verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? First thing I want to talk about is simply being obedient to his voice. You know, we have stories in the Word of God, and obviously God does not speak audibly to us these days. He speaks to us through his Word. But can I tell you something? There is that being within us that is God, called the Holy Spirit of God. And he does speak to us, if you will, in some way, shape, or form, in some manner, if you will. Has there been a time where you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit of God to do something and you didn't do it? Or prompted by the Holy Spirit of God to not do something and you did it anyways? You understand that we need to obey his voice. Back then, in these days, Saul had someone like Samuel, the prophet, that would say, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that." We obviously don't have that per se today. Maybe in the form of the preacher preaching from the Word of God, or those in our lives that are spiritual guides or mentors, etc. But all in all, we need to be obedient to the voice of God in our lives. In Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel were told to obey God's voice. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Gee, sounds like there's a verse like that in the New Testament too. Very similar to those words, isn't it? Absolutely. So if the people would just obey his voice and keep his covenant, they could be that peculiar treasure. Wasn't that the same thing that goes for us too? That we're peculiar and that we're a treasure and we're to be set apart and separated, following following the commands of God in our lives. A holy nation. Kingdom of priests. To be an example to others of what our God is to us. You see, we need to obey his voice. In Exodus 23 it says, "Behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for not my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries." You want God's blessings on your life? You want God's protection in your life? Obey his voice. If you don't care about that, then I guess just disobey and see what happens. He's not responsible, is he? He's not liable for that, is he? If you don't obey. In Deuteronomy 13, it says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. As it was said unto me from Dr. Smith and Dr. Lassiter and even a few other preachers that I've known over the years. Listen, if what they say, and I'm going to tell you from this preacher to you, if what I say goes against what this says, don't follow me. Follow him. Isn't that what this passage is talking about? We need to follow the voice of the Lord. Reminds me of something that Jesus said in John chapter 10. You can turn there if you'd like to. We're going to be here for a bit. And when I say a bit, about 2 minutes. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth." Oh, listen to this. Everybody say, bah. "And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name." He knows my name. Isn't that cool? Eric. Yes. Yeah, practice your sheep. "And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him." Here it is again. "For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers." This is so beautiful. It doesn't get any better than this, folks. All through the Old Testament, they're told to obey the voice of God. Obey the voice of God. Listen, I have about 12 different scriptures I could have read to you, but for sake of time, I don't need to because I already pointed it out in Exodus and Deuteronomy. And here and also in 1 Samuel, in our text. But do you hear what Jesus says in John chapter 10? That we as the sheep of his pasture, we follow him and we know his voice, and it's not a problem because we know his voice. But then we hear the voice of strangers. We run away. We flee. "For they know not the voice of strangers." What are you doing following other voices? What am I doing following other voices? He said, "I know sheep are dumb, but are we really that dumb?" One voice we're supposed to follow. Just one. The others, we flee from because they're strangers. They're not going to lead us in the right way. But he will, because he's the shepherd. We love him. We trust him. We know his voice. And he knows our name. That's amazing. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You say, "But what about all the rules? That sucks the life out of people." Nope. The devil wants you to think that it sucks the life out of people. You know what rules do? They make you more abundant. They provide protection for you, and safety, and provision. They're good. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then in John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We obey his voice. If we're going to be obedient, we need to obey his voice. Go back to our text in 1 Samuel 15. Look at verse 23. If we get late today, it's because you didn't flip back fast enough. Samuel says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Why? Why, Samuel? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. So not only do I need to be obedient to his voice, to his leading, to his calling, but I need to be obedient to his word. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God. Unquestionably. This is God's perfect, complete, preserved word. And we have it. I'm not really a big on things of this world today, but if I had a mic, I could just drop it, right? Is that a thing? What else do I need to say? If this is the word of God, why don't we completely, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, obey it all the time? Simple answer, because we're human beings. Sinful creatures. But let's not dwell on the simple answer. We can do this. We can obey his word. We have the ability to, because of salvation in Jesus Christ. Listen, aren't you glad we don't have to rely on the old nature to do this? Because that will certainly not happen. We have a new nature. We can walk in the Spirit. We can abstain from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We don't have to say yes to it anymore. We're dead to it. And we're alive in Jesus Christ. We can, but will we? Will we obey his word? In 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul writes and says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there were some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them which are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. We need to obey the word of God. Why? Because it's the right thing to do, and because it's an example to others. You see, obeying God's word isn't that easy because of this stuff that we dwell within. You know, Paul says things like mortify, crucify, you know, kill. listen, we've got to get rid of this stuff each day so that we can be successful in obeying the word of God. Because this doesn't want to. It wants to be pleased. It wants to sin. And listen, Saturday, I think it was, at the youth rally, the preacher said about sin, and it's true. It is pleasurable for a season. But we know what comes with it. A bill. hey, listen. Oh, and there's going to be a draw to disobey. There's going to be a draw to that old life, to the carnal life. We've got to say no. And yes to God. We need to obey. In Romans 16, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations the obedience of faith. To the only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You understand that God has given us in writing his word to obey. And we need to obey it. James says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Many of us have heard what God's word has to say about doing this or not doing that, and we choose not to. And I remind you that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's sin. And we ought to obey the Lord and his word. Remember what Joshua was told? As he took over command of the children of Israel from Moses, maybe one of the greatest leaders of God's people. He's told in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. I can understand that. How'd you like to deal with 3 million complaining Jews? No. Or 3 million any complaining anybody's. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, Joshua had an advantage, everyone. He didn't have to sit there and think back to all the lessons that Moses had told him to memorize. Because that would be a lot. Have you read through Deuteronomy? Have you read through Leviticus? Okay? Lots of stuff to remember there. Joshua didn't have to have it all memorized. You know what verse 8 says? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Can I say, believer, today we have the word of God. I already told you that. We get to read it. We get to meditate in it day and night. We get an opportunity to do these things. And we're encouraged to be strong and courageous and to observe to do according to all the law which God has given to us. He's with us. I already told you he's given us the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truth. We have the opportunity to obey his voice and to obey his word. Now, one last time, back to 1 Samuel. Look at verse 18. Remember the delusion I told you that Saul was in. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, Samuel said, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Now, that was the command. Like I said, you can go back and read beforehand that God gave a very detailed description of what was to take place. Can I tell you something? Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Just as much as a half-truth is a lie. You see, but it's half-true. If it's not all true, it's a lie. If I don't agree with your semantics, tough. It is. So guess what? Incomplete obedience is disobedience. You say, who says? God. God says. You say, well, that's what Samuel said. Well, Samuel said, stay here and I'll tell you what the Lord revealed to me this night. Samuel wasn't making this up. Saul hadn't disrespected Samuel. Saul disrespected God by not completely obeying his voice. As far as we know, only one Amalekite survived this battle. You see, Pastor Combs, there might have been 100,000 Amalekites. You're saying that not killing one is disobedience? Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. You say, that's tough. Yeah, God's kind of like, you say, well, they destroyed all the chickens and all the goats and all the other cattle. They only kept the nicest ones and they only kept the nicest sheep and they killed everything else. Come on. No, you come on. It wasn't all of them. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. We need to obey completely. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But time out. This is not talking about salvation, folks. It's talking about Christian living. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That, of course, comes from Romans chapter 6. There's much more to be said. Remember what it says in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long
on the earth.
You understand, Saul could have been king for a much longer period of time. And maybe even his lineage. But he was rejected because he rejected God. You see, it didn't just affect Saul, his disobedience. It ended up affecting his whole family. You know what? That may be true in our lives as well. Complete obedience is important. In 1 Peter 1, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Complete obedience. Think about our story. Was it the people? No. It was Saul in his pride. Decided to disobey the Lord. You know, there's times where we think we know better. Where we think, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Or I obeyed God. Yeah. You didn't kill all the Amalekites. You didn't destroy them. Well, I did most of it. Those people. Maybe we're listening to somebody else's voice. We're supposed to be running away. Fleeing from it. Because it's not the voice of our Savior. Maybe we're not obeying His word. Well, yeah, but I obey most of it. Incomplete obedience is disobedience.